more about the Internet Essentials program. InternetEssentials.com. This is NHPR.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. And so the double fiscal fight is over in Washington, at least for now. The federal government is open for business. The U.S. won't default on its debts. But like so many of these recent close calls, this latest deal is limited. The government is funded only until mid-January. The debt ceiling is extended to early February, so it may be Groundhog Day once again early next year. Of course, on Capitol Hill last night, there was lots of finger-pointing about how it got to this extreme last-minute situation and a lot of reflection about what lessons were learned. And throughout it all, Americans with both Republican and Democratic views expressed enormous frustration with congressional approval ratings at about 10%. Today in The Exchange, Granite State politicians give their take on what happened, their own party's role, and their hopes for the future. Let's hear from you, too. Are you worried that this deal is just another Band-Aid on the system? Or do you think that it was the scare we needed to avoid future similar battles? Does our nation need major economic or political reform? And if so, what should that look like? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. We have three guests in studio. Ray Buckley is here, chairman of the New Hampshire Democratic Party. Ray, good to see you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Good morning.
Also with us, Gene Chandler, Republican House Minority Leader and a state representative from Bartlett. And Representative Chandler, thank you for making the trip from the North Country.
Good morning.
And also with us, Andy Smith, director of the UNH Survey Center and an associate professor of political science at UNH. And Andy, welcome back. It's really nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Well, and first of all to you, Andy Smith, put your political scientist hat on, if you could. What's your reaction to what we saw yesterday?
Well, in some ways, it was really not unexpected. I think people were anticipating all along that the debt limit was the key date and that a bargain would be reached by the time the debt limit came. Also, it's not unexpected that Republicans would not get the good end of the deal here because they were never in a strong negotiating position related to the president. The presidency always has a better pulpit to argue from. But I think the bigger issue that we have to look at and why this is going to be going on down the road is that we've got serious budgeting issues in the country. We haven't had a budget passed since 2009. We haven't had appropriations bills passed. So what we get is these continuing resolutions to fund the government. It doesn't allow both Republicans and Democrats to go through the normal committee process and negotiating process that you would expect to have happen to construct a budget and to go through a lot of these issues. So you get this brinksmanship because it's the only leverage point that's left. And I think that's the real troubling part about all of it.
Yeah. Could you talk about that a little bit more, Andy? Because I think that's a really important point. We've done a couple shows over the past few weeks on this sort of crisis situation. And I can't tell you how many people have said to me, Andy, gee, didn't we just do this last year or the year before? I mean, it does seem to be we're just always bumping through these deadlines and crises.
Well, because we haven't been going through the standard budget process and the standard appropriation bill process, we're left with continuing resolutions. And a continuing resolution is basically continuing to go with the way we're going right now with some additional goodies thrown in for the congressmen and senators who are negotiating the deals. But it's not allowing us to thoughtfully plan what our budget is. And this is at a time when we have some significant financial problems, fiscal problems. David Walker, who's a former Comptroller General of the United States, loves to talk about the size of the U.S. debt. We'll be here next week to talk about those sorts of issues. And I think that's the larger, if you talk about the macroeconomic area that we're in, is that we've got major issues and we're not addressing these major issues. We are just kicking the can down the road for political gain, I think.
Well, and why aren't we doing it the normal way?
it's a scary proposition that we've got.
It's too
right
big?
Now.
It's too scary?
Our budget deficit at the end of fiscal year 2014 is anticipated to be, our national debt at the end of 2014 is going to be over $18 trillion. So it would be larger than the GDP.
Trillion with a T.
With a T. And if you add in the other sources of debt in the United States, you know, Medicare, Social Security, et cetera, you know, we're close to $100 trillion or more in debt. So it puts us on level, fiscal level with Greece and countries like this that we make fun of in Europe. So these are serious, serious fiscal issues that we're confronting. And there's not, nobody wants to look at those through a standard process because it's a, it'll be very painful. And in politics, a two-year time horizon doesn't allow for pain.
Well, Representative Chandler, again, you're Republican House Minority Leader, former Speaker of the House here in New Hampshire. I'd love your reaction, too, to what we saw yesterday on Capitol Hill.
Well, it's not so much what we saw yesterday. It's what we've been watching for the last month, I think. And certainly, I think this step had to happen. Glad it did. But by the same token, I think once, as a lot of people have already realized, this isn't something that's a very long-term solution. And we're going to be right back doing this again very quickly. I guess from my perspective, I think the blame is everywhere. You know, there'll be people, you know, obviously some people blame the Republicans, the Democrats, the president. Everyone has to share in the blame in this, no question. We can decide whether how proportionally it goes. I don't know. But there's a lot of blame by everybody. But I think the key thing that I would like to see happening is that we are in kind of a short term right now with January and February coming up quicker than we think. That what finally I think got us to some resolution was when the president and the Senate and the House started talking to each other and sitting down and doing something. I mean, my only proposal, I'm sitting here in New Hampshire, so they're going to do whatever they want to do, but I would recommend that they start doing that tomorrow for this upcoming thing, because to wait, traditionally you wait to the last minute. Budgets in New Hampshire are done the last day. This is not unusual per se. But by the same token, to wait until this last few days before anyone really sat down and talked to each other. They had, everyone was talking at each other, but not with each other. And I would just think that they need to sit down soon and start this process instead of waiting until February. I don't know what the date is in February, but whatever it is, instead of waiting till 2 days before. So let's get started now, see if we can't work out some ideas and get something a little more long term.
Well, and you talked about blame, Representative Chandler. And if you look at the polls, more of the blame, not all, but more of the blame is being put on your party for this, for tying government funding and then the debt ceiling to GOP dislike for the Affordable Care Act. How do you feel about that, about the blame being put more on your party for this?
Well, I can understand, one, why that is, certainly, and whether it should be or not, totally, I'm not sure. And part of the problem is, Andy alluded to that a little bit, the president, as in, no matter who, what party, or the Speaker of the House or the President of the Senate, they have the bully pulpit. There's no question. Anything they say is going to be reported to the nation. So when the president, which is his due to attack Republicans for not agreeing with him, and that's the way it goes, obviously that gets all the press. So that's a major indication of then people, after hearing it for two or three weeks, that say, well, I guess maybe he's something to that. So I think I take that with a little bit grain of salt. But obviously there is, I mean, it was the Republicans that, in essence, tied the situation up for something some Republicans that felt was very important. And that was what they did for a while. They didn't get any concessions in the end, or not very many. But that'll start the process now. Hopefully we'll be talking about it for the next two or three months.
And one more quick question for you, Representative Chandler, and I do want to bring Ray Buckley in. A lot of Republicans this morning were saying, okay, we lost, but it was worth the fight. What do you think?
I'm not sure it was worth the fight, but I think it was a good fight. I think they believed firmly in what they were doing, and I think that's important. And I think a lot of what some of the folks believed in will carry forward. And I think there were some good ideas. I think part of the unfortunate thing with this whole process, whether it be Republicans or Democrats again, was that neither side was willing to even talk to the other side. The Republicans would present something in the House, and the Senate would just say, we're not even going to talk about it. The Senate would say something, the Republicans would say, well, we're not even going to talk about it. Well, unfortunately, in this politics, it's supposed to be the art of compromise, which means you can't have compromise if you're not talking. So I think that was the the biggest concern I had, because I think the Republicans did have some good ideas in the House. They should have at least been considered, as did the Democrats. So hopefully that's what I'm saying. This process needs to start now in preparation of what's coming up in February.
Well, Henry Buckley, to you, you know, the critique by Republicans and I heard from a few Democrats, too, was that President Obama wasn't showing more willingness to sit down with House Republicans. According to the Washington Post, those meetings he had with Republicans were described as lectures, not give and take talks. What do you think about that, that President Obama himself didn't show a willingness to listen?
Well, I think the president was rightfully fed up with this sort of behavior. As we've seen, this was a planned shutdown. The Tea Party caucus conceived this months ago. This was their plan all along. The president clearly knew that. And the fact is that during the shutdown, the American economy took hits of billions of dollars. And there were families that truly suffered, working families across this country that rely on, who live paycheck to paycheck, were not able to do that. And in some instances, those families will take 6 months to even try to get their bills back in order because of the games that were being played by the Tea Party caucus and Speaker Boehner's unwillingness to call a vote. If he had called the vote on October 1st, what happened last night would have happened on October 1st, and none of this would have occurred.
Getting to that $18 trillion debt that Andy mentioned, you know, we heard from a couple folks yesterday when we talked about this, Ray, who said, yeah, go ahead and default. It'll finally focus Congress on what really needs to happen, which is to get those serious issues, those spending issues, under control. Starve the beast, said one of them. Let them default and reboot at a lower level of spending. So some of this is genuinely concerned that the country is on a bad fiscal track right now.
Well, in reality, the rate of spending under President Obama is the lowest of any president in 40 years. The problem is that we have a society that's infiltrated with the spin meisters and Fox News and misinformation. The rate of spending under President Obama is about 1.7, and it was nearly 9% increases under President Bush. So we are tackling the rate of spending and increases, and as the president's announced, that there is on the horizon a balanced budget, just like under President Clinton.
All right. Well, after a short break, we'll start hearing from our listeners your reactions to what came out of Capitol Hill last night, your hopes, fears for the future. 1-800-892-6477 is the number. 1-800-892-NHPR. You can email us as well, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And we'll be back after a short check-in with our fall membership drive.
And you're listening to The Exchange here on NHPR. You tune in each and every weekday morning at this time to hear what's on the mind of your fellow New Hampshireites. It's a chance for you to interact with Laura and her guests and fellow listeners as well. This program is made possible thanks to you when you contribute to the Fall Fund Drive here at NHPR. We hope you'll take a couple of moments right now and do just that. The number to call is 1-888-805-6477. You can also give online at nhpr.org. I'm Michael Rathke, and here with me in the studio is Rebecca Lavoie.
We do have a goal this hour. We have $4,000 to raise in the next 40 minutes or so. These goals are super important to stay on track to meet our overall goal for this membership drive. Plus, the money you give now will go to help pay directly for the exchange on NHPR. We know you love this program because you're listening to it right now. Please take a minute and support it at nhpr.org or give us a call, 1-888-805-6477.
And the top story of the day, the federal government is back in business. You woke up to this news today on Morning Edition. This morning on The Exchange, Laura Kanoy and her guests are taking a look at the political ramifications of this story, and we'll have continuing coverage throughout the day on programs like The Diane Rehm Show and Here and Now. All of these programs are made possible thanks to the generous financial support provided by the contributing listeners of NHPR. We hope you will do your part now to make these programs possible for you and others to appreciate here on NHPR. Again, we're hoping you will call right now, 1-888-805-6477. 6477 or give as generously as you can online at nhpr.org.
And of course, when you give today, you will be entered to win a Wilderness Systems kayak. It's a Tsunami 120 one-person kayak along with a $100 gift certificate for accessories. The deadline for this prize is 7 p.m. this evening, but you might not be near the radio then, so please give us a call right now. Now $3,600 left to raise. In the next 39 minutes, you can help us get there. Get entered to win a kayak. 1-888-805-6477 or go online, check out the kayak, and make your donation at nhpr.org.
And it is so important that you step forward and support the exchange and NHPR right now. We can't stress this point enough. Listener support, well, it's the very bedrock, the foundation of our budget here at NHPR. 41% of our total revenue comes from listeners just like you. Now, if we can get more members, even just 1% or 2% more of the audience, that would make a huge difference in our ability to bring you even more and better programs in the months to come. Do your part now. Contribute as generously as you can at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
We have 38 minutes left this hour. We have $3,400 left to raise. It is super convenient to do. If you give us a call right now, you will be done by the time the exchange comes back on the air. It takes just 2 minutes. We need a little contact information, how much you want to give, how you want to pay. You can use any credit card. And 2 minutes you take are so important because the money you give keeps the exchange on the air and available to all. 1-888-805-6477 is the number to call. You can also give online at nhpr.org.
Stop and think for just a moment about all the news and information you get in a typical week. How much of it comes from NHPR? Is it half? Maybe even more than half. We're your first choice because you know the news is complicated. Look at this story alone, the shutdown of the federal government and now the reopening of the federal government. NHPR and NPR has been on top of this story all the way through. You know what you expect each and every day when you tune into NHPR. In-depth news and information made possible thanks to you and your fellow contributing listeners. Show your support now for NHPR with your contribution at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
We have $3,200 left to raise in the next 37 minutes. We've got a great new thank you gift this fall fund drive. For your $10 a month gift, you can get the NHPR Clean Canteen. It's one of those 20-ounce thermos canteens with a snazzy new NHPR Sustainer logo on it so you can show everyone as you're drinking your cold or hot beverage how much you love the station. The Clean Canteen can be yours for $10 a month. It will help us make this hourly goal, help keep this fund drive successful. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
And coming up on the exchange, more on the political aspects of the reopening now of the federal government. We are staying on top of the story throughout the rest of the exchange. Diane Rehm, Here and Now, and All Things Considered later today. Please give as generously as you can to support these programs now at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from Franklin Pierce University, connecting you to a career that matters. Learn more at franklinpierce.edu. From New Hampshire Orthopedic Center, keeping bodies in motion, on the web at nhoc.com. And The Telegraph, providing local news coverage and advertising opportunities for today's complexities, online at nashuatelegraph.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, Granite State politicians weigh in on the politics in Washington that led to the shutdown and the debt ceiling standoff and the fiscal agreement forged just yesterday to open the government, avoid default. We're getting reaction here in New Hampshire to what happened on Capitol Hill, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Post a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like, NHPR Exchange. Our guests are Andy Smith, director of the UNH Survey Center, associate professor of political science, along with Ray Buckley, chairman of the New Hampshire Democratic Party, and Jean Chandler, Republican House Minority Leader and a representative from Bartlett. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Gentlemen, let's go to the phones now. And Jonathan's calling from Manchester. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, first off, I'm very disgruntled by the fact that people are continuing to argue that it was equally both sides in measure. It was obviously a ploy for the extremists, and our state left, our state Republicans are not are complicit as well by refusing to accept the money and holding it off so long. They were hoping that Obamacare would have been torpedoed, but now it hasn't been. I hope they're going to accept the money instead of turning down much-needed money for the state. But complaining about the fiscal irresponsibility of Obama versus the previous administration, which basically spent trillions on a war that destroyed a country, and we have a president who wants to spend much less than that helping heal American. It is outrageous. That's the argument they're using. And you can see the fringe elements when you saw the stenographer on the floor last night complaining about Freemasons founding the country and that it was a godless society from the beginning. This is the real fringe voice of the Tea Party. They'd like to destroy our government, and they think the Bible is the Constitution. It's a great book full of wonderful stories about morality, but it isn't our Constitution, and it has never been.
Okay, Jonathan. So, yeah, so laying blame at the feet of the Republicans, especially the Tea Party. What do you think, Gene Chandler?
Well, obviously, he's convinced of that, I guess, the caller. And but I still say that there is blame on all sides. Certainly, and I don't know if it's the Tea Party, it's the conservative branch of the Republicans. I'm sure there were more than just so-called Tea Party people involved in trying to do something with Obamacare. I know that. It isn't just the Tea Party group in the House and Congress. It's other conservative Republicans who felt that they really wanted to make some changes. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I wish that, as once again, I just wish we'd done it a little sooner. But that's their right, if that's what they believe in, to try to do something like that. That's the process we have in this country. And unfortunately, there are things that I don't agree with. There are things that other people don't agree with. But the idea is you get them out on the table and you talk about them and compromise to the best you can. And I think that the process is somewhat flawed due to the parties not sitting down and the president. I throw that in there. You know, he's the president. He can do what he wants. But I wish that he had started talking about these things earlier rather than going around the country talking to people. He should have been in Washington talking. And the blame is with everybody. I keep repeating that. But
Jane, you mentioned the process. And I think, to be fair, it's important to note that they changed the rules mid-time, midstream. And so only the Republican majority leader. Yes, the Republicans and the majority in the House. So only the majority leader can actually make a motion on the floor right now. We would never put up with that in the House. Can you imagine, as the Republican leader, the minority leader on the floor, you were not allowed to make a motion on the floor, that only Steve Shurtleff could make a motion on the floor?
So John Boehner had changed the rules, so he had too much control. Is that what you're saying, Ray Buckley?
Absolutely. It completely forced the issue that it made it impossible for the majority of the House members, the Republicans that wanted to vote to end the stalemate and move on, and the Republican caucus, the Democratic caucus added together. They couldn't make that motion because only the majority leader can make a motion on the floor.
That may be something that I would not agree with, perhaps, but by the same token, it was the rule. They passed the rule. So if the people don't like that, they can change the rule. That's all. I mean,
do you want to jump in real quick on that, Andy Smith?
No, I'll stay away. I'll let these two guys fight about it.
All right. Well, there has been a lot of talk this morning about the Tea Party and the role it played. Jonathan, thank you for that call. Joining us now from Meredith is Tim Carter. He's leader of the Lakes Region Tea Party Group. And Tim Carter, great to have you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Laura. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I'd love your reaction about how you think things were resolved yesterday on Capitol Hill.
Well, first, I want to give you two quick comments. I really loved your Freudian slip when you came back in from the break when you said, debt stealing, because that's really what's happening right now with our federal government. They're stealing money from you and every other taxpayer. And then I just also really want to quickly say that Ray Buckley, he must have used one of the New Hampshire Common Core math textbooks when he talked about the rate of spending being the lowest. Maybe that's the truth, but the rate of borrowing of the current administration and the politicians who are everybody up in Washington who did this last night is, think about this, when President Obama was running for office in 2008, he said how unconstitutional it was to have a $9 trillion debt. Well, you know what our debt is now, don't you? You've been talking about it for the last 25 minutes. It's nearly $17 trillion.
So what about the agreement last night?
We'll talk about that. So the debt has nearly doubled under Obama's watch. So his rate of borrowing, which you and I and all the rest of us have to pay for, is out of control. So anyway, last night, The blame for that can be laid at the feet of every single politician, including our own Kelly Ayotte, who they run for office, and some of your guests are these people, I hate to say it, but they run for office saying one thing. But when they get in power, they do something completely different. And that's what the Tea Party is upset about. We're upset about the lies. We're upset about their lack of performance. And we're upset at how selfish they are. Our founding fathers were not selfish. They thought about us. They thought about our future generations. But right now, we have 500 and something politicians in Washington that all they care about is getting reelected or what's in it for them. Those are the facts. You can just look and see what they're doing. And your guests have said the same thing for the past 30 minutes.
So was it worth the fight? What do you think, Tim?
Well, you tell me. You tell me when your money, here's what's going to happen. It was really kind of funny. I think Andy talked about this at the beginning of the program, where he says we're laughing, you know, Americans are laughing at what happened in Greece in the past 6 to 9 months when they hit the wall with their financial crisis. Here's what's going to probably happen here in America. First of all, your savings account and every other American savings account is getting eroded by the inflation that's happening from the $86 billion a month that the Fed is printing. It's turning our dollar into worthless currency. You're going to probably see one day, probably in your lifetime, Laura, where the federal government's going to come in and confiscate some of your money. And that's what's wrong with what's going on in Washington right now. People are oblivious to it. And here's where the change is going to happen, and it's just starting. As soon as the average citizen starts to feel the pain, and you're seeing it start to come out in the media, even on your program, where people are seeing what's happening with their health care premiums, you are going to see a revolt very similar to what happened about 237 years ago in this country.
So feeling the pain from the Affordable Care Act, is that what you're saying, Tim?
Absolutely. Look at. I'm an example. When my premium here in New Hampshire, I'm a self-employed individual. My premium here in New Hampshire just 4 years ago was $945 a month. And as soon as Obamacare started to get talked about and was passed into law, Anthem raised it to $1,447 a month. President Obama promised me that I could keep my plan, keep my doctor, and I would save $2,500 a year. You know what I got in the mail on October 1st, 2 weeks ago? I got my letter from Anthem that says, guess what, Tim? Your plan's canceled, no longer available. And, oh, by the way, your new rate is $2,200 a month.
Wow.
And I am one of tens of thousands that got the same letter here in New Hampshire. The Tea Party, you know what the T stands for, remember? It's taxed enough already. And you're going to see your listeners who are going to get those same letters, who are going to get their hours cut or whatever, when they feel that pain, there's going to be a revolt here in this country. I guarantee it.
Tim, that's just money
in the bank.
Just stand the line with us for a minute, if you could, please.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I'm interested in what you said, and I want to ask Andy Smith, too, about this idea of frustration that we're hearing from Tim from people who came to the table and said, hey, we need to work together. Hey, we need to avert this. But Tim's got another view, Andy. He's saying, hey, I didn't want compromise on this. This was too important for compromise.
Well, I have a rather cynical view of what happens with elected offices. The most important thing to do for anybody in politics is to get elected. Especially that's the case, I think, in D.C., where it's quite comfortable to be elected. Secondly, the parties exist only to get those people elected and to win majorities. And third, when it comes down to it, politics trumps policy. And that's where we are right now, I think, is that the politics of the debt debate is more beneficial to the parties in their electoral process than solving this overall issue, which is a very difficult issue.
Yeah,
and politicians do go down to Washington and they do change because they say what they say to get elected. That's kind of their job.
Ray Buckley, what about the Affordable Care Act? Tim told a story about his premiums going way up. We've heard other stories just this morning about people having to switch their doctors. They really don't want to. What do you think this frustration with the Affordable Care Act, he's saying, is going to come back to bite you and your party?
And if one is to believe the New England College poll that was released just 2 days ago, 58% of the people of New Hampshire support the Affordable Care Act, or otherwise known as Obamacare. And so it clearly shows that there is a significant increase in support. The more people understand it, the more people know about it. I noticed that Tim mentioned the story about people cutting the hours. Less than 0.5% of businesses actually did that. In fact, many businesses expanded their workforce to be full-time, to actually be taken care of with health care, because they understand that employees that are covered with health care are more likely to be healthy and less likely to lose work hours. So I think that so much of what's going on with Obamacare is very similar to the argument when Social Security was instituted, or Medicaid and Medicare in the 60s, that, all the same sort of heated rhetoric. And what the Tea Party and some Republicans are afraid of is that once the American people really understand it and get involved, that they realize that it's something that that is very beneficial to them and their families, and that they will credit President Obama. And the hatred of the president personally by the Tea Party is so prevalent and so significant that they just can't allow that to happen.
And Tim, I want to get to you too, but Gene Chandler, go ahead.
Well, I have no statistics in front of me. I just would find it, I guess, a little difficult to understand that 58% of anyone in the poll in New Hampshire favored Obamacare. I think it would depend on how the question was asked, who was that. I'm not sure, because certainly that's unlike any poll I've seen so far. But I think this points out the problem, and I think one of the difficult things that Washington faced, and I'm hoping they go at this, I think there are many areas with Obamacare that can and should be changed. Now, does that mean doing away with the whole thing? As much as I would just as soon see that happen, that's not going to happen. It's the law of the land. Right or wrong, it passed every House, Congress, Senate, signed into law, it's done. So I think that's what's there. So now we have to go and see what parts of it make sense to change it. For instance, shouldn't congressional people in Congress have to abide by the same rules for the health care as the rest of the public? Of course they should. So there are things like that that should be changed in Obamacare. And I'm hoping that, I think, as part of the Medicaid expansion thing that we're working on in New Hampshire, I'm hoping that we have some input into that. I think we will, as Republicans. Certainly the Senate will have a lot of input and rewrite something that's for New Hampshire people. People don't forget, there's only 20,000 people. I say only, but all these numbers that people throw out, the 50,000 and 60,000 people eligible, only 20,000 people are going to have the effect of uninsured and be helped. There's a way to do that, in my opinion, a lot less than what they're proposing.
Well, and Tim Carter, just about a minute before we head into a break, but I did want to ask you, the Tea Party has taken some heat, as you well know, from Republicans who say, look, by causing this crisis, you're really just helping Democrats. I wonder what your response is.
My response to that, Laura, is that the Republicans that said that are not really Republicans; they're rhinos, and they'd qualify to be a Democrat, under JFK's watch. In other words, we have had a huge political shift to the left. The Tea Party people have remained, steadfast in conservative principles, but we've seen both Democrats and Republicans shift far to the left, to embrace these wonderful policies and supposedly wonderful things to stay and, to get reelected. And it's crazy. It's bankrupting our country. And I'm here to tell you that you're seeing the tip of the iceberg, what you see in the media today about how people are upset. And I've got a challenge for Ray. Ray, here's what I'd like to do, and I'll drive to your city or your town this weekend. This Saturday morning, why don't you pick the grocery store. I really don't care, but you and I are going to stand outside the grocery store, and as people come out, we're going to do our own survey about how people feel about Obamacare. Are you willing to take me up on that?
Ray?
Unfortunately, I have an appointment Saturday morning, but we can surely
I'll let you guys
something.
Work it out online, mm-hmm. by phone. Tim Carter, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Laura.
Tim Carter, leader of the Lakes Region Tea Party, and we will get more reaction from you after a short break. Let's check in now with our fall membership drive.
Good morning, and this is the fall membership drive here at NHPR, one of a few times during the course of the year when we come directly to you to ask for your support to make the programs you enjoy on NHPR, like the Exchange Podcast. possible. Do your part now and give as generously as you can at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. I'm Michael Rathke here with Rebecca Lavoie.
We have $2,800 left to raise in the next 19 and a half minutes. These hourly goals are so important. They help us stay on track to meet the overall goal for this drive. They help programs like the Exchange coming your way. We're about to get a little bit of an update. It looks like maybe the phone's been ringing. We have $2,700 left to raise in the next 19 minutes. Do your part. Help us get there. Help us stay on track. 1-888-805-6477 is the number to call, or you can go online, nhpr.org.
And today on the Exchange, looking at the big story of the morning, the reopening of the federal government, the political aspects of this news. Laura and the Exchange bringing this to you as well. Diane Rehm coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, and more coverage continuing throughout the day on programs like Here and Now and All Things Considered. You and your financial support make all of these programs possible when you contribute to the NHPR Fall Fund Drive. Let's hear from you next at 1-888-805-6477 or donate online at nhpr.org.
If you call right now, you won't miss any of the discussion on the Exchange. You will also be entered to win a Wilderness Systems kayak. If you're the lucky winner, you'll get the Tsunami 120 one-person kayak along with a $100 gift certificate for accessories. Maybe you can get a paddle. The deadline for this prize is 7 p.m. this evening, but you are listening to the radio right now. It's a good chance you're near a phone right now, so pick it up. 1-888-805-6477. If you're listening online or if you're listening at work, go on over to our website, check out the kayak, and make your gift at nhpr.org.
When you contribute to NHPR, either at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org, rest assured that your contribution, every dollar you contribute, goes to support the very reason you like to listen. Great quality programs like The Exchange and also programs like Morning Edition and All Things Considered. We invest significantly in our local content on programs like The Exchange and Word of Mouth. And also our NPR commitment is quite significant as well. $170+ for each and every hour of programs like Morning Edition and All Things Considered. We're not expecting you to cover that entire cost all by yourself. Just pay for your fair share. Maybe that's $5 a month or $10 a month. Call now at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
All it takes is $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month on the sustainer plan. We have $2,700 left to raise this hour. We have 17 minutes in which to do that. You can help us out. Make the next 2 minutes the most productive 2 minutes of your day. Help us make this goal. Help the Exchange coming your way. Keep it coming your way. Keep it coming your way for everyone. 1-888-805-6477. You can also make your gift of $10 a month or $20 a month at nhpr.org.
Some listeners don't make contributions because they don't think they listen enough. Well, here's a test for you. When you talk about programs you listen to on NHPR, did you say, oh, I listened to Laura Kanoy this morning, or I listened to Terry Gross, instead of saying I listened to The Exchange or Fresh Air? That sounds like you're a pretty serious, hardcore listener to NHPR. We hope you will take just a couple of moments now and support these programs that are the soundtrack to your day at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from EnviroVantage of New Hampshire, a full-service environmental cleanup company with all the equipment and personnel needed to clean up water damage and prevent mold. EnviroVantage.com. And from Wentworth Douglas Hospital, supporting healthy communities in the seacoast of New Hampshire and southern Maine. WDHospital.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're getting a Granite State take on what happened last night on Capitol Hill with the agreement announced on both the government shutdown and the debt ceiling. But as we've been learning, it's temporary, leaving the possibility of these discussions and deadlines for another day. 1-800-892-6477 is the phone number for you to join us. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have three guests in studio: Andy Smith, director of the UNH Survey Center, Ray Buckley, chairman of the New Hampshire Democratic Party, and Jean Chandler, Republican House Minority Leader and a representative from Bartlett. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And gentlemen, lots of comments coming in on our Facebook page and from email. Here's an email from Debbie, who says, a lot of the blame for these ongoing government funding issues resides with Senator Harry Reid. The House has passed budgets and funding allocation bills in a timely manner. Reid has refused to even hold votes on a budget. That's why there can't even be conference committees to negotiate a final budget. Reid is responsible for these last-minute arguments. And why hasn't President Obama been a real leader and taken the initiative to negotiate budgets with Republicans long before the last minute? That's a point you brought up earlier, Representative Chandler. Ray Buckley, what do you think?
Well, it's hard to argue with somebody who believes in something that isn't true. The reality is that the Democrats have asked to meet with the Republican leadership 18 times this year alone regarding a budget, and they have been rebuffed. So, regarding the budget, I think that the Senate is very prepared to do that. And the House, you know, despite what your emailer suggests, it has really been the one stonewalling it. So, you know, who is right? I think I'm right. She thinks she's right. The reality is this sort of behavior is not something that would be tolerated in New Hampshire, where everyone has a fair say in the legislation. And I think that Washington could learn some New Hampshire lessons.
What do you think, Andy? Because I've heard people say what Debbie says. I've heard people say what Ray says. Who's to blame for the lack of this permanent budget that you mentioned earlier?
The Senate has not voted on a budget since 2009, and they have not voted on a single appropriations bill. They had some in committees that came out, but they have not voted on one. So as a caller said, they haven't had the ability to come to a conference committee because they didn't have a piece of legislation to bring to conference to do negotiations with the Republicans in the House. And that does bring up a point that I think is really troubling, is that we're having budget negotiations by deals. They're getting made among political leaders, party leaders, rather than going through the normal committee process. So it's like everybody wants to put together this package and it's dropped on the members of the House and the Senate for them to vote on, rather than for them to be participating in the construction of these bills.
Again,
and that's a problem.
Getting back to your first point, which was we haven't been in a normal budget process where it goes through committee the way it's supposed to for many years. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a call if we could. And Phil's waiting in Hanover. Hi, Phil, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Listen, it seems to me that the fact of the matter is that a couple of years ago, Speaker Boehner and the President worked out the so-called grand deal, grand bargain, and that it was Tea Party folks and the Republicans who stonewalled that. And it was very helpful to hear the Tea Party representative who you had on, because he just threw out sound bites that did or did not have any bearing on reality or history. So if that's the way they are, it was very illuminating. I want to know what's going to be able to move the country forward to get a budget on a track that's going to be able to keep this country solvent and reduce our deficit.
Well, thanks a lot for the call, Phil. I appreciate it. And Jean Chandler, what do you think about a couple comments there from Phil?
Well, I think that's part of the problem. And as Andy alluded to, the Senate hasn't had a budget or even voted on one for a number of years. And I think that's what I hope happens now. As I said, the right or wrong, and you may not agree with what the House has been sending over or passing, any number of bills, especially dealing with this issue as we've come close to the shutdown. But I'm hopeful that the House will continue, whether we agree or the majority of the country agrees on what the House passes or not, that they will continue to pass some legislation dealing with what they think is important for these upcoming January and February shutdowns and debt ceiling votes, and that the other side, that Senator Reid will take those and negotiate. And nothing may come of the negotiations. That may be fine. But to say we're not even going to take them before we start talking, I think is wrong. So I'm hopeful that legislation can go back and forth between the bodies, and I think there can be some agreement. I think that even Democrats would agree, I would like to think, that there are some areas of Obamacare that need to be adjusted. And I think that's critical that we take a look at those.
You know, Phil also said that Speaker Boehner, President Obama, did have this grand bargain a year or a year and a half ago. And Phil, our caller anyway, blames the Tea Party for derailing that bargain in the House. What do you think, Jean Chandler, is the Tea Party making it difficult to achieve some of these goals that you have talked about?
I think whether it's the Tea Party or not, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure what the Tea Party is. Or no one has a card down there saying what they are. Certainly the more conservative branch of the House Republicans in Washington have a different attitude or a view on how things should operate, especially as far as Obamacare. And they have a right to do it. They were elected by their constituents. Whether I agree with what Senator Cruz did, filibustering and going that way, his constituents obviously support him and what he's doing. I believe that. And I believe he believes that. So he's doing what his constituents want him to do, which is what the process calls for. But I think now's the time to have some cooler heads prevail and try to pick out the pieces that we can get some compromise on, that both parties can agree to, and make some changes and move ahead.
Let's take another call if we could. Phil, thanks for that one. And Hamilton's waiting in Meredith. Hi, Hamilton, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted just to refer to the previous caller from the Tea Party. I don't consider myself affiliated with any party. I've been an independent for 35 years. And I like to think that I take the best of each one of the party's platforms, accept it as my own, but reject those that I disagree with. One thing that did resonate with me with the Tea Party is his assertion that both houses of Congress seem to be so self-serving that their only interest is what's in it for me and how do I get reelected. And clearly the examples of those that he pointed out, I'd like to get a response from the guests as to what they think about that. Number one is that no one in Congress lost their pay during the government shutdown. In my company, as a government contractor, I lost pay. People that I work with lost pay. But the federal employees, I believe, are going to receive their back pay, number one. Number two, the congressional representatives, they didn't lose their pay. Are they considered essential to national security, where they would continue to get paid regardless of whether the government was shut down or not?
So a feeling of unfairness, Hamilton.
You.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Ray Buckley.
Well, we are the only state where our entire congressional delegation gave all or a portion of their pay back. Both Senator Ayotte and Senator Shaheen gave their entire pay, and both members of Congress gave a portion of their pay. So the folks in New Hampshire, that represent New Hampshire, certainly understood the point that the gentleman was making.
Well, and here's what I'm hearing also from Hamilton's point. And Hamilton, thank you for calling. Andy Smith, I'll throw this to you. You know, he said the parties are in it for themselves, representing that frustration that this two-party system just isn't working.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, party, right. I mean,
parties are there to win elections, and they see electoral gain out of this. I said earlier,
and that they put that first.
Absolutely. That's why they're there, frankly, is to win elections. If you don't get elections, you don't get the majorities, you're not in a position to do anything with policy. To his earlier point, the Constitution does require that Congress and the House and the Senate be paid. So they can't not pay themselves without changing the Constitution, actually.
That's convenient.
And I will say that nothing has changed in that regard about people getting elected for the last 200 years. That's what people are there for. And right or wrong, I don't know how you would change that, because if they just go down simply to say, I'm going down for 2 years, not going to take any positions, I'm not going to let my constituents know what I think, that type of thing, they're not doing their job. Part of their job is trying to find out what is needed in their district that will get them reelected.
Well, so many comments and questions that I haven't had a chance to get to, including a couple Facebook comments from Porcupine and Vicky, who both expressed concern that this is being kicked down the road. So we'll probably talk about that again at some later date on the exchange. An email from Bill, who says the caller from Laconia is wrong. What is bankrupting our country is not the ACA. What is bankrupting us is the bloated military machine between Wall Street getting away with what it could and so forth. Then we got an email from Rob in New Hampshire who says, nobody I know supports Obamacare. They all fear what is eventually going to happen to them. Premiums going up, dropping our spouses, only covering employees. So there's Rob and Bill on opposite sides of the Affordable Care Act. This has been a great discussion, gentlemen, and I really appreciate everybody coming in. And I think we'll be following up as these deadlines approach that were set up by this deal on Capitol Hill last night. Ray Buckley, good to see you. Thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And Gene Chandler, nice to see you too. Thank you for your time. Andy Smith, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. It was a lot of fun.
This is The Exchange on NHPR, checking in real quick with our fall membership drive.
And good morning. I'm Michael Rathke here with Rebecca Lavoie. We are in the final minutes of today's hour of The Exchange for the fall fund drive. We hope to hear from you right now. And more discussion coming right up on the Diane Rehm Show about the federal government reopening, the federal government back in business. You make these programs possible when you contribute at 1-888-805-6477 or when you give online at nhpr.org.
We are looking for $2,100 in donations in the next few minutes before the end of this hour. 1-888-805-6477. Making this hour's goal is super important because it helps assure that we can bring you The Exchange. We're looking for, you know, just 20 people giving $100. We're looking for 5 people at the day sponsor level at $365. That's $1 a day. Just 5 people at that level will get it done. Now we have $2,000 left to raise in the next 4 minutes. Thank you to that caller, 1-888-805-6477. You can show your support for The Exchange and make a gift online at nhpr.org.
Stop and think for a moment about what you have just heard. A 1 hour comprehensive discussion about the political aspects of the federal government shutdown and subsequent reopening of the federal government. If you go up and down the dial on the radio, if you go all through the cable news channels, you're not going to find such a well-balanced, thoughtful discussion and constructive debate and exchange of ideas that you heard today. You heard it here on NHPR, the kinds of conversations you hear each and every day on The Exchange. You make this program, you make these conversations possible when you contribute. Please give as generously as you can right now in these final couple of minutes on this Thursday edition of The Exchange, 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
The phones are ringing. Join your fellow Exchange listeners. This program is worth supporting. We have $2,000 left to raise in this hour. When you give, you will also be entered to win a Wilderness Systems kayak. This is the last chance for Exchange listeners to get in on that drawing. It ends at 7 p.m. tonight. But you're listening to the radio now. You're listening to the program that you appreciate right now. Show your love now. Give us a call. Make a donation. $10 a month, $20 a month. Your choice. How much do you love The Exchange? Let us know. 1-888-805-6477. You can also make a gift online. Check out the kayak at nhpr.org.
Think about all the great programs, all the great subjects, all the great conversations you hear on The Exchange each and every time you tune in to NHPR. It's a great opportunity to hear, like we were saying, a diverse set of opinions. It's a chance for you to participate, to be a very important part of the dialogue as well. And again, we can't stress this point enough. The Exchange is made possible thanks to you when you contribute to the NHPR Fall Fund Drive. Do it right now. Call 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
If you pick up the phone right now, you won't miss a minute of the Diane Rehm Show. It takes just 2 minutes. It's super easy to do. 2 minutes, $5 or $10 a month. Just let us know how much you want to give. The benefits will be here all year long in the form of The Exchange and of Diane Rehm and all of the programs that you tune in for, all of the programs that you love. I know you love them. Show the love. Put a dollar amount on it. Give us a call, 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
A couple of callers on the line right now. Room for you at 1-888-805-6477 and the website, too, at nhpr.org. For us to be able to bring you the Diane Rehm Show in a few minutes, we have to pay a bill to NPR. This year alone, that bill is going to top $344,000. What can you cover of that? Maybe $10 a month or $20 a month. Call right now, 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Don't miss out. Exchange and Diane Rehm listeners on your chance to win a Wilderness Systems kayak. The drawing for this prize ends at 7 p.m. We've got three people on the line right now. Three people showing their love for the Exchange, showing their appreciation for NHPR by helping us make this hour's goal by showing their support in the form of their dollars. Join them now, 1-888-805-6477. You can also go online to nhpr.org. And thanks.
And support for NHPR comes from you, our members. And support also comes to us from the Diabetes and Endocrinology Center at Frisbee Memorial Hospital in Rochester, providing comprehensive diabetes care to patients across southeastern New Hampshire, frisbeehospital.com. And Vineyard Brands, importers of Mohua Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand's Marlborough Vineyards.